Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro and try to make sense of markets. Man, that overnight action in the bond market was brutal. They really don't make any sense. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today. I got some really cool charts and economic data to look at. Now, in case you're wondering, this is not a permanent change in the hat. This is just temporary, because I want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas, and I hope your families stay safe and warm and have a wonderful holiday season. Now, some of you have asked, like, aren't you worried? You know, what's going on in the price with bonds? What, I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, and you know, I thought that, you know, on Tuesday, I thought, okay, hey, this is the clearing. The momentum is shifting. You know, things are, you know, finally this, we're going to get that big turn that I've been expecting. And then, you know, the economic data comes out today and it's not good. But I mean, and what happens? I mean, people are, you know, just slamming yields higher, bond prices lower, jumping in the equity market. So what gives? Like, what is going on here? I mean, is there something else that we can't see? And what's going on in the markets is there something called CTAs. It's referred to as a commodity trading association, but it's just a term that is used for quantitative computer trading models. And we're seeing in the price action, particularly of TLT, which we'll look at in a minute, of their behavior. Now, what are these things? If you've never heard of these CTAs or quant models, like what are they? How do they work? And why are, you know, does Steve think that we see this, you know, in the market? So what they are is that some dealers, and I don't know how many dealers have these or securities firms. I don't know how many have them. Not many of them actually speak about it or, you know, give out a lot of data. We do from hear from time to time from Nomura on their quants. And what these are black box machines that are given lots of money from clients. You know, you're talking, you know, tens of millions, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And I don't know what the total between all of these quants are, but they work on a price level change. So when prices are rising, they will steadily buy into something. So they chase that trend higher. But when things are going down, they, and they hit their price triggers, they aggressively sell. And they play generally in the futures market. And so what we're seeing in the treasury market is what very much looks like quantitative computer model selling. Now, how do I know that? Well, there's a couple reasons. One, they do not care about the economic data. They are literally just trend following machines. They look at, they have a scale, you know, 1 day, week, month, you know, whatever their scale that they look at a price. When it hits certain triggers, it's either buy or sell. Now they can go, you know, from neutral to long to extent, you know, max long, taking extreme long positions. They can also go from neutral down to short and what's called max short, where they're just 100% short the market. And they can do this in the bond market, the commodity market, the equity market. It just depends on how they're set up. The other way you know their behavior is showing up in the market is they also sell in a pre-market or very early in trading, and it's just a hammer. I mean, you're looking like whatever it is, it's like boom, boom, boom. That's on the when they're out, when they're selling, it's boom, boom, boom. When they're buying, it's really slow. It's like doo, 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 and they keep coming in little by little. So let's look at the chart of TLT, because this is exactly what quant trading looks like. And I'm going to zoom in to from the early October, and what you see is this just waterfall selling, bam, 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 right? This sell, sell, sell. And then what these models will do is they'll let buyers come back in and they'll sell them down, sell, sell, sell. And then they'll let them come back in, sell, sell, sell. They'll let buyers come back, sell, sell, sell. And you see this repeated pattern over and over and over again, where they'll let buyers come back in and they'll sell it, sell it, sell it. And buyers come in, sell, sell, sell. And there's a point where they've exited all of their, you know, positions, or they've gone max short. And I thought on Tuesday, and the reason I thought that on Tuesday is because we actually got out of the kingdom under siege zone. And then all of a sudden this morning, boom, you hear this big slamming move down in the overnight market. We'll look at the 10-day and you can see just sell, sell, sell. But the buyers are very strong here. Obviously, we know the Fed is around. And when you look at today's candlestick, where you see it start, it moved all the way down and then buyers came in and brought prices back up almost without a lot of fight. It tells you that we're almost at the end of this. The last time we saw this, this type of selling kind of ran for like a 3-month period. And we're almost kind of at an end of a 3-month period. And what's really cool about this, see, when you understand quantitative easing and how the Fed is reducing supply, this is really good news because they're selling into, you know, a reduction of supply, but the market's absorbing all the selling. And I think that's one of the key things to take away here is the market is absorbing the selling. And a lot of people think, oh, these quants, they can just, you know, move the market around with their weight because they're using these highly powered leveraged futures contracts. And they sell a lot of them, or they buy a lot of them, so they can really push markets around. But the fact that we can't break 1.7% on the 30-year is telling you what the market thinks. Thou shall not pass. Now, you know, the kingdom's still under siege, and maybe tomorrow we'll be out of it. I don't know. But what's cool is when these quants start buying back in later on, because remember, once they go max short, then they just stay there. And it's not until those price triggers hit later, and they're, again, they're lagging. But what's cool about it is they're going to be buying into a smaller market than they left. Pretty neat. So, you know, some people say, like, aren't you worried about all this? And it's like, you know, I would worry, you know, because when you have a macro thesis, if your data tells you that everything's on track and market is moving because of speculative buying or selling, depending on, you know, whatever your thesis is or whatever your investment is. But if the market is moving against you because they're speculative buying or selling, you don't worry about it. It's just like, all right, well, it's not cool. And you might ask, well, why not get out and come back in? Well, because when you see these charts that my friend Stefan sent me from his Bloomberg terminal, and we're going to go look at the speculative positioning, and he sent, you know, a little bit more detail than we normally look at, you'll really get a perspective that when this switches, when all this selling ends and all of a sudden prices move, they're going to go pretty quick. So let's start with the COT data. So this is a net speculative positioning in the 30-year, and it went up a little bit on last week. Now, this is as of Tuesday every week, so we won't have this probably until Wednesday's show because it won't be released until Monday, and there's not a lot of time to get the data in time before I record. But let's look at the details. So the net position was reduced, so the change went up, you know, 14,000 contracts, not really a major amount. And we can see that, you know, small move right here in the net positioning. Now, I also asked him, I said, hey, can you send me the dealer positioning? Because I want to see how dealers. So, well, let's back up. What's your takeaway here? You have this massive short position that is shorter than it was in ever in history. So if someone's like, you know, I think, you know, bond prices can only go down. Just keep in mind, you have the largest short position in history. So when someone says, well, are you worried about the Georgia election? Well, not really, because I don't believe the two senators can create inflation when the Fed can't. I mean, the notion that two senators could create inflation, wow, they'd be really powerful senators. Well, aren't you, Steve, aren't you worried about a blue wave and all this repeated stimulus? No, not really worried about it, because the market is so short and it can't get yields to go higher. It's telling you something. It's speaking to you. You have to, you know, sometimes you have to stand up in the kingdom and listen from the castle. And I get that vantage point. You got to listen and hear what's going on in the winds. And it's telling you things aren't going to go much higher in yields. They're just, the market isn't there. So I said, let's take a look at the dealer positioning. Now, this is neat because he ran the history going back to 2009. And beneath here, what you see is this chart right here, the net speculative short position. So the dealers were very short in 2009 and going into 2010. Now, it would make sense because we were seeing rates rising at that time and dealers were hedging against that. So what are you looking at is when dealers buy bonds, what is their risk? You know, at auction, their risk isn't the prices go higher. I mean, that'd be great, right? Hey, we went to the auction and prices went up. Their risk is what if prices go down? They need to hedge that risk. Now, there's no line drawn in, but right below this text up here, if you can use that as a reference point, this is a zero line. So what you would expect is dealers are pretty much never long. There was no reason. I mean, there's brief moments they are, but there should be really never long. So if we look over here at what's going on with dealer positioning, you can see they're relatively short, but they're starting to unwind those short positions, and they could be in a position to start of squeeze out the speculative longs. And you can see below just how deep these speculators are, and yet the dealers aren't really that short as they were. And what that's telling you is dealers are believing that there isn't much left for them to worry about in terms of downside move. Now, why would they think that? You know, that, and that is a great question, because we look at what dealers are buying at auction, and the longer you see prices, say we'll look at TLT, see the longer prices are at a lower point, that means the dealer's cost basis is moving down. So if we look out over a six-month period, you could see dealers that were bought when they were buying at auction, they needed to hedge that downside risk because the market was pushing bond prices down. But now the dealers are saying, we don't really think there's as much downside risk to worry about, so they're starting to back off their short positions. So I thought this chart was really interesting. Then he surprised me with a present, and he sent me the TLT against the net short position. This is a chart that I've really been wanting. And I was really excited when he sent it to me, because I wanted to show you, because there's so many people that tell me, Steve, you don't get it. You know, the speculators are right. You're totally wrong about this. They're going to win. When you see this chart, it will totally change your perspective about where bond prices are going when all these speculative positions unwind. It's really, really cool. So let's take a look. Now, what you can see here is that bond prices bottomed in October of 2018. Now, keep in mind, at the time, speculative short positions were huge. Now, let's go back and look in 2018. You can see not quite the record short, but it was pretty darn close. Maybe it was. Maybe it briefly touched there. So you had this massive short position right here at the low. And you'll notice that bond prices rise. So we see TLT rising. And it's not until TLT gets to around 130 that the speculators go slightly net long. And you can see that these little green bars. And after that, they go short. And notice how the price of TLT continues to rise as the short positions build. So they build up around 100,000 net short positions at the peak of TLT. So mind you, TLT rallied. I mean, this is a big takeaway. The TLT rallied against an increasing short position in the futures market, just to show you just how deflationary the economy is. You know, you're seeing all this disinflation, potential deflation, and you're seeing it in bond prices, despite the fact that there was massive speculative selling. Now, they didn't get back to the record low, but they got pretty darn close. Now, in August, as we know, if we look at the chart on TLT, we can see where bond prices peaked. Pretty much, well, if we zoom out, I know somebody said, well, they're really up here, but this, forget about that. You can see this August peak right here is what really matters right now. And what happened, let's go back to this chart, is that's right here. And let's zoom in a little bit so we can get some perspective. That's right here. Now, if we go down, we see the speculators had roughly around 100, a little over 100,000 contracts short. And they started to increase them right after that August peak, because they said, okay, this is it. This is the top. We're going to short the bond market down. Now, keep in mind, they took that 100,000 short position to over 250,000 contracts. They're now sitting at a little over 200,000. Keep that in mind. They continued to short. Now, what has TLT done? It's gone from 170 to, say, 157. That's it. They double-plussed their short position. So if you're playing blackjack, right, think about this. You're at the blackjack table, and you've got a losing hand, and you double down. That's what they did. They said, hey, we can't lose, but the position is going to lose. We're going to double down, and we're going to bet. And all they got for all that energy that they put in here, all that short position, is a measly move down right here. This is all they got. Now, remember, 100,000 short contracts, prices rallied. And people now are saying, this thing is going way down. It's going to go to 150, 140, 30, 20. It's going to zero against a massive speculative short position. This is why I'm not concerned about future inflation, because think about this. If prices could rally against rising short positions, what's going to happen when these things unwind, when some sort of triggering event hits the market that says, you know what, interest rates are going lower, financial conditions are tight, and they have to unwind these? Can you imagine where this thing is going to go? It's going to go somewhere up here. And that's why I really think that we're in a position to actually see 30-year yields potentially get to zero sooner than later. Now, does that mean next week, next month? In a macro world, sooner than later. I would imagine we're more likely to see this next year, because all these short positions are doing what? Not generating higher interest rates. It keeps getting to 1.7. It kind of breaches it for a little while, and then boom, right back down. Can't cross because the power of the Fed and QE is keeping rates suppressed. Fed is doing exactly what they need to do. And the market is telling us there is no demand for, or there's plenty of demand for bonds at these price levels. Keep bringing it down. We'll keep buying. Keep bringing it down. We'll keep buying. So once all these short positions are gone, or once all these CTA quant models sell, guess where yields are going to go? Whoo, and who's going to stop it? Nobody. And when those quant models start coming back in, guess who they're going to squeeze? And the dealers are going to start unwinding their shorts and backing off because they won't need to. Do you see how this all plays out? Does this kind of make sense? Because, you know, this is why I'm not overly worried about this. You know, even though there's all these calls for inflation, all of the positioning tells me we're already there at extreme positions and we can't get yields higher. You know, I remember when I spoke with Jeff Snyder not too long ago, and he commented to me, he goes, you know, honestly, Steve, I'm surprised yields didn't go higher. He's like, in fact, he was rather impressed that they didn't. And it just goes to show there is demand for bonds at these prices and there's no demand for yields to go higher. And when all of this unwinds, there's your major move. And when it happens, it's going to be fast and swift. All right, let's get into the economic data. I hope that was really helpful. I mean, that's not specifically my Christmas gift to you. I'm actually working on a special QE video that I haven't recorded, so I'll be working on that tomorrow. I hope to have it out Christmas Day for you. But I hope this is this was really helpful because I want you to see what I see. So when I see all this speculative positioning, yeah, I'm not really that worried. Do I love the fact that these quants are selling? Nah, it's some days it's frustrating, some days it's annoying. But when it's all gone, when they're all done, I'm going to show you here. We'll go back and look. What's going to happen when it's all done? Here we see coming out of a massive selling program of CTAs against a short position that the dealers were net short, right? They had increasing short positions there. Remember, look at this chart. Let's go back one more time. You know, here we are. Where's TLT? Here we came out of this consolidation pattern right here. Prices go up, increasing short positions coming in here, and then they got flushed out, and they still stayed net short. Where do you think this thing goes when all these shorts get kicked out? How about producer prices coming out of South Korea? Still deflationary at minus 0.3%, a small improvement, but still deflationary. Let's move into the Tuesday data. We might go a little long because, again, we're not going to have a normal macro show on Friday. Will be a special edition. Redbook retail sales up 6.5%. Now this can be some calendar adjustments here, depending on where the years fall, because this is last year. Geez. So I'm not really concerned about that. But look at the month over month. Down 0.9%. How about consumer confidence from the conference board? And you can see consumer confidence is back almost right where it was at the pandemic lows. So it's telling you consumers aren't that confident. Now, maybe when the stimulus is passed and some checks are sent out, that confidence will improve. But at the moment, you can see there's not a lot of confidence here. And usually stocks follow confidence. They usually do. So it's telling you all the stock market who think, hey, we're way up here. Well, if this doesn't rebound, is telling the stock market where its next direction is, and that would be lower. Let's move into the Wednesday data. We've got German import prices still importing deflation at minus 3.8%. So their prices are down from this time last year by 3.8%. That's importing deflation. Let's look at Spanish producer prices. Deflationary, but not as deflationary. So it's a little bit better at minus 2.8 versus minus 4.1. So Spanish factories are, sending out, exporting deflation out of their factories. Let's get into the jobless claims data today. We see 803,000 claims. It's still a lot, even though it's down from the week before. It's still a lot. How about total unemployment claims down 283,000? This I'm actually surprised by. I don't know if people are falling off the pandemic assistance. I don't know enough about it, but it seems like most of it's due to regular states. So I'm guessing some people are going to float over to the pandemic. It'd be interesting to see if, in the next couple of weeks, if this number goes up, because we know that these benefits are going to be extended. How about we get into durable goods, new orders? You know, I mean, just a quick touchback on this. You want to talk about inflation? Tell me how you get inflation with 20.4 million people on unemployment claims. You don't. We couldn't get inflation, you know, when we're at full employment. And, you know, people think, oh, we're going to get inflation with all these people on unemployment. How about durable goods, new orders? This look at the consumer. So excludes defense and new orders for non-defense aircraft and parts. And you can see on a year-over-year rate, this is now back in positive territory at 4.38% or 4.4% over this time last year. So showing there is some demand there on new orders. Is this inventory rebuild almost over? That's the big question that's weighing on the market's mind. And we're seeing that in some of the factory data saying the demand for new orders is slowing down. How about the personal consumption's expenditure price index? So this rose 1.1% over last year, this time last year, but slowed from 1.2. That's disinflationary. So when we look at this chart here, that is the PCE price index, also referred to as a PCE deflator, is the average increase in prices for all domestic personal consumption. Now, this is what the Fed's preferred gauge of inflation is. And so you can see it is disinflationary. It got back up to its pre-pandemic levels, and then it's going lower. So this is disinflationary on the PCE. How about core PCE, which is excluding food and energy? It was flat at 1.4%. So again, signs of inflation. You know, that was what's interesting about today's move in the bond market is you don't see it here. You're not seeing it in the data as a reason why. House prices up 10.2% on a year-over-year. This is in October. Yet new home sales dropped 11% last month. And probably not too unusual, but on a year-over-year basis, the number's still like 20-some percent, pretty high. And then we look at the Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey. Let's see current conditions, overall consumer sentiment. Let's take a look at it and see how it compares to the Conference Board. And you can see that, you know, here consumers, according to the University of Michigan, are just a bit higher than they were at their pandemic low. So a little more confidence in this survey, but overall, usually the market follows this lower. So it's a little bit surprising. The market's expecting confidence to rise, and so far it's not, but maybe some checks coming out will do that. But one thing that is bond bullish is inflation expectations. This is from consumers, dropped from 2.8% to 2.5. So, you know, we're seeing, you know, disinflationary trends in the consumer confidence survey. Crude oil inventories were down a little bit. You know, we keep seeing the crude oil is getting bid up on major recovery. It still seems to be a demand issue. Gasoline inventories were down a little bit. Distillate stocks were down a little bit. You know, crude oil bulls need to see a lot of minuses in the weeks to come. They really need to see that. Now, some questions coming up is, hey, will we get some more QE? Will Powell give the bond king his Christmas gift of more QE? Well, we get a new schedule on Monday. So that means there will be no quantitative easing purchases on Monday, but we will presume they will resume on Tuesday as we get another QE schedule there. So how are we doing? I think we are pretty much out of time on this deal. Went a little longer than I thought. Had some other charts to show you, but maybe we'll save them for Monday. Again, I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Have a very Merry Christmas. Stay safe. Stay well. Hopefully I'll have my Christmas, well, we won't call it a Christmas special, but QE special for you on Christmas. If not, we'll certainly be back on Monday for more of the Macro Show. And I want to thank all of you for being wonderful fans and supporting me this year. It's been great, and I'm looking forward to more of the Bond Show next year. Again, be sure to like, be sure to subscribe, because my wife made these cool signs, so you gotta love that. And we'll be wearing the crown back on Monday, so be sure to tune in. And again, I'll see you hopefully on Friday, and if not, for sure. Oh, well, of course, we have the Sunday Chart Show, can't forget that, but then Macro Show resumes on Monday. Bye now. The content of this video is provides educational information only, is not intended to provide investment or other advice. Shares not to be construed as recommendation or solicitation by outside security, financial instrument, or to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity. Opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.